Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And we were doing some research into wedding traditions, because that's what we're going to be talking about. And I was looking at Pinterest for different cultural ideas. And you'd have this country, and they've got these cool costumes, and this country, and these cool customs. And then in America, it's all about the donut bar at the reception.
Yes, it is.
I didn't know that that was the thing. They'd have these cool boards with all these little pegs, and they're hung up almost like keys, and you can get yourself...
I did that too.
You can get yourself a donut, so who knew?
And a lot of signage. I don't know why, but we have to label every darn thing at a wedding.
Cool signs, but I almost wanted to go back and do it again so I could have a donut bar.
My sister had pie.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about everything you never knew you wanted to know about wedding traditions. So let's see. You were going to lead off with something that was a little dark, you said, and then we would progressively get a little happier. So let's go dark.
I'm going to talk about chivalry. And chivalry for us is an Old West kind of thing. It's a common 19th century Midwest practice, but it actually has its roots in Canada and England. In England, it was known as charivari. And it was designed to break up relationships that the community didn't approve of. And so they'd have the ceremony, or they'd be leading up to the ceremony, and the community would come and do hazing kind of things. Like, they'd swipe the bride, or they'd take the groom, or they'd come and throw rocks at your house, and wild things like that that are disruptive. And most of the time it was just a, look, we're watching you, please fit in better. But sometimes it resulted in the dissolution of marriage. Not always, but it was definitely a way for the community to reinforce social norms. So that divorcee who married again, or the widower who married too soon, big age gaps were a thing. The community disapproved of something. Adulterers, wife beaters. If the community for some reason as a whole got together and there was enough gossip, and they're like, no, that would...
This is the danger of being in love in a small town.
That's exactly it. And so it did transition to small town U.S. in the Midwest. And my mom actually talks about this. The tradition morphed into more of a fun, silly thing where wedding guests would often return uninvited. They'd wait, they'd have the ceremony, cake, done, the whole thing. And then after the bride and groom had left, presumably to home, the guests would come and they'd bang pots, and they would parade through town with the bride, or they would have pouring salt into the sheets. My family would always be like, they're going to short sheet things and hide something weird in the fridge, be banging on the house, throwing rocks.
Salt in the sheets?
Yeah, that's not awesome.
That would be really bad.
I think you'd notice fairly. I hope you'd notice fairly quickly.
It's very gritty in here. What's the deal?
So it has transitioned. There was one story on findmypast.com where the couple recounts, the groom says that they burst into the house, the guest burst in, took his wife, plunked her into an old wheelbarrow, and then forced him to wheel her into town. And then when they got to town, they went to the local bar and they forced him with enough measure of persuasion that he felt like he had to buy everybody beer and like salami sandwiches. And then they plunked her back in the wheelbarrow and made the groom roll her all the way home. Yeah, good times.
Oh, man. Hazing. Yeah. You know, and hazing does seem to be a consistent theme of some of these wedding traditions. Sweden has a whole bunch of interesting traditions with when you get married. And one of them has to do with during the reception. So you're married now, but if the groom left to go to the bathroom or the bride leaves, so if any time the bride and groom are not in the same room, everybody lines up to kiss the person who is left in the room. So groom leaves and there's a line of people waiting to kiss the bride. And it also goes the other way.
Wow. So anytime anybody leaves, they're missing out on opportunity. Like, wow, I have a big space bubble and I would have not probably attended my own reception.
Yeah. And what's and you know, and this is also one of these things where it used to be just if the groom leaves the bride unattended, she's now fair game, kind of that thing. But now, you know,
ladies want to get in on it too.
It's 2019. So, you know, we do it to both sides. But yeah, they also have the tradition of the bride and bridesmaids carrying flowers. We think maybe may come from the Swedish tradition, wedding tradition. The bridesmaids would carry weeds during the procession to ward off trolls. So now we carry flowers just because they're pretty and there aren't any trolls. And you weren't supposed to wear, you're not supposed to wear red to the wedding, because if you have on red and you're a lady, that indicates that at one time you were intimate with the groom.
Oh, shocking. You could cause a big scandal.
Shocking.
Breaking things up.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot of, if you do something wrong at a wedding, it's...
There's a lot of pressure.
Yes. Yeah.
This is it for life.
Not with Russia.
No?
Nope. In Russia, they're super chill.
It's a big country.
It is a big country. So I'll tell you, this is from my friend Anna, who went and lived in St. Petersburg. And so this is not her family tradition, but it's what she experienced while living there. And she observed Progolka, which I don't know if that's how you say it, but it's how we're going to.
It sounds great.
Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. Anna and I got together because her dad is from Russia, and I wanted her to teach me to talk like a Russian mobster, and we never got around to it. We ate pizza. We had a great time. She taught me one sort of curse, and then we left. So I still, that's it for me, folks. However, progolka means to stroll or walk around on a tour. And after the ceremony, the bridal party, and presumably whoever else wants to come along, takes a stroll through the city to tourist locations and has their pictures taken. So Google it. Progolka and the statue of Peter the Great. That's okay. A big one. There's lots of pictures of brides and grooms there and just all scenic tourist locations. It's beautiful. But they're driving
tour. I kind of like that because, you know, in the United States, it seems like either right before the wedding, so everybody's in their fancy clothes and you've shown up and they're like, wait, it's going to be 45 minutes while we take these pictures, or you get all dressed up in your stuff way before and they're taking wedding photos before the wedding. I like the idea of, okay, we've had a wedding and now let's go for a walk and let's go do our fun photos.
Yeah. And then your family and friends get to enjoy scenic sights in your home city or wherever you're getting married and everybody wins. Yep.
Aww.
The other one that Anna shared with me is at the reception when champagne has been passed out and everybody has some. Someone in the crowd will yell "Gorko," which means bitter. And so when they yell that, the couple has to kiss for as long as they can to sweeten the champagne.
Aww.
That's a nice one.
That is nice. Well, if you were in South Korea, you would not be going for a walk post the wedding if you were the groom.
Oh,
yes. So there's a tradition of beating the groom's feet with a dried fish or a cane before his first night as a married man.
Wow. Can you choose which? Because dried fish seems less bad, but they're not specifying.
You don't choose. And this is such a process. I have a link on our website in the show notes. So they lay him down, like they had him up on a table for easier access, because nobody wants to bend over to beat on somebody's feet. They remove his shoes and socks. They tie a rope around his ankles. Somebody is holding his feet up in the air, so they're nicely exposed. And then the one I watched, it looked like a wooden salad spoon. So like two separate pieces. So when you clap the feet, you'd get some extra stingage.
Yes.
I think it was probably his father-in-law that took the first shot at him. It just had that look about it, right? You know?
Yes.
It's believed that it might make the groom stronger. Honestly, I've seen the videos. I think this is just an opportunity to beat on your buddy on his wedding day. And sometimes the groom is quizzed in, you know, so they'll be like, here's a math problem, whack, and then he's got to answer it kind of thing. Yes.
High stakes.
Yeah. And in some, I saw that sometimes they will keep on going until the mother-in-law pays a ransom.
Oh, boy.
So, boy, you better hope that this lady likes you or you're not going to be able to walk.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is.
But what I kind of liked about this is, I don't know about you, but a lot of the wedding traditions that I came across dealt with hazing the bride and the bride's family, and there's something wrong with the bride, and so we have to do X to make the bride like acceptable. And so coming across this, just the thought of him getting beaten with a dried fish, it made me kind of happy to see a little equality going on there.
That's right.
Please go watch the footage, because you can tell everybody is having a really great time. Everybody except the groom.
Well, you are going to like Thailand then, because
yes.
The engagement ceremony in Thailand is called Tong Mun. The engagement ceremony is pretty protracted, it sounds like. The groom doesn't even ask the bride's parents for her hand. The groom's buddy goes and says, hey, my buddy respectfully really wants to marry your daughter. And so the bride and groom are not directly involved in that at all. It's a very approaching with reverence and respect. And there is a dowry of sorts, but it is more meant to honor the effort in raising a wonderful daughter for him to marry. So I liked that. Mm. It's not like, here's your lady. She's going to milk my cows now. Can I buy a few for you? It has a much different tone. So I appreciated that very much. Instead of diamond rings in Thailand, they give gold jewelry, and it's 96% pure gold, and it must be given in an odd number. You don't get four rings, you get five.
Right.
In the Buddhist tradition, you go to the temple and you ask the monks to bless the marriage and participate in a ceremony, and you invite the monks to the wedding, but only an odd number. No more than nine.
Oh, geez.
And on the morning of the wedding day, the guests of the wedding and the groom in particular walk to the bride's house. And the groom's goal is to get there at 9:09 a.m. because that's a lucky time. I find the traditions involving some of these things are so fun because American weddings, my wedding was, it's not very steeped in cultural tradition. You know, we've been in America for a long time and some of that has distilled. So I really enjoy these. You've got to arrive at 9:09 at the bride's house in a Thai wedding. They have a parade of guests and the bride's house, when they're ready for the bride to come out, they play a loud song so all the neighbors know she's getting married. And that's how the whole procession starts and she comes out. I can imagine the groom's like 9:07 and he's at the corner of the block.
Yes, just waiting.
Walking real slow, real slow. This is just a mosey. Got to be there at 9:09.
Yeah, and then what happens if you, because that's something I was thinking about, because in some parts of India, there is this also tradition where the groom comes, you know, mm-hmm. in a big procession kind of thing. And I thought, what if you live an hour and a half away? Clearly, you're not going to procession that far, right? Yeah. So then where does the procession start? I mean, is there like a...
All right, we're going to meet at the Best Western on the corner of 1st and 5th.
I know.
At 8:50. It's about a mile.
We've plotted it out, and then we're going to walk it so we get there at 9:09.
We've forwarded the map to all of you. Yeah, this is probably really different in modern times than it once
yes.
was. Yeah. The wedding itself has a ceremony with the monks, but then another part of it that's quite lovely is that the family is very involved. And the Thai wedding, I got this information from my Filipino friend, Antoinette. She and her American husband were living in Thailand when they married, and so they were married in a Thai ceremony. And the thing she really loved the most about it is the family blessing. The bride and groom's hands are wrapped in a flower chain, and then the family and the guest, with the father of the bride's family being the chief of this ceremony, come and bless the family, bless the bride and groom. So they all pass along. She was glad she only invited about 50 people.
Oh boy, that could be a long day.
Yes. And she said they are very water oriented in Thailand, and that's true from what I read as well. The bride and groom's hands were soaked in water that was held in a conch shell. And that was also a time where a blessing took place. And then, oh, here's my favorite part about the Thai wedding. Afterward, of course, the reception, big deal, so fun. You would normally invite your number of guests. Maybe you invite 100 people. You never know how many are going to show up because the Thai people view that as a me and whoever else I would like to join me. And so you might invite 100, but you have 300. It's a great big party.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be hard to plan for.
That's what the note said.
Mm-hmm. Food.
Yeah. You're going home with a lot of cold cuts or whatever.
A lot of rice is coming home with you.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Because, you know, my wedding was super tiny. It was in the backyard of my parents' house, you know, and we'd built a gazebo, and it was a friend of ours that officiated, and it was a lot of fun.
But you didn't have an elephant as a bridesmaid.
I really didn't know.
Antoinette wins the wedding.
She totally does. Man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I can top that. I am going to talk about, in Germany, mm-hmm. so I'm going to give you a little background. It's common nowadays to have a civil ceremony. So you go to mm-hmm. the courthouse and you get married legally. And then in a few days, you would have a church ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in between these two, after the civil ceremony, on the night before the church ceremony, the bride and groom gather together, or people just arrive at where they're staying or at a reception. They have something called Polterabend, and they smash dishes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I have this one video. It's in this little reception hall, and they took a bed sheet and they taped it to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were taking turns shattering dishes.
I have enough German in me that I feel a little bit betrayed that my mom didn't share that tradition.
Right?
Because I always thought that was just a fun Greek thing that they got to do. And
no.
I love the idea.
They were just out there smashing them. It's thought to bring luck to the couple because it symbolizes how their marriage will never break. We've done all the breaking now with
like
shattering
that.
The stuff.
Could have done that. I'm going to make my kids do that.
Let's smash some dishes. Although watching it, I was like, they need some safety glasses because I was like, I don't know if I'm culturally right for this. People would be... throw and then turn their face away and stuff is blowing everywhere.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Have we worked our way through all of the wedding stuff?
I have questions about the German wedding. Like once they have the civil ceremony, do you suppose they get to live together until the religious ceremony? Or do they have, is it more like the buying the license in the civil ceremony?
Well, it talked about how everyone would go to their house.
Okay. So they're
so
married.
So maybe, I don't know. Or, we're all living in sin now. You know, we're doing whatever. At least that's what we did. But anyway.
We had Han Solo and Princess Leia on our cake and we toasted with Dr. Pepper. Now it would be Diet Dr. Pepper. I can't handle those calories and that sugar. For a golden anniversary.
There you go. You'll have Dr. Pepper. It's so interesting how we all have these different things that we do that bind us together.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like our parents' generation remember a lot of the traditions because it was done in their grandparents' generation. And then things have changed. That Industrial Revolution changed some things in the world.
I think when it comes down to it, if you love a person and you want to make a life together, do what works for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Find your tradition. If it needs to be a party or jumping out of an airplane and getting married while you're flying through the air. Although I'm not coming to that wedding. Sorry. I'll be on the ground.
Ground crew. Yeah. And make sure you review your state's inheritance laws.
Oh, yes.
And insurance laws. Thank you for listening to Brain Junk's Insurance Corner.
Yes.
With Amy and Trace.
There's a code for that.
Yeah, that's right. We're on Facebook and Instagram as Brain Junk Podcast, on Twitter as @MyBrainJunk, and if you think we might be a good fit for your public radio lineup, we're now on the PRX Exchange.
Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored. And somebody invite me to a wedding with a donut board.
Yes. Oh, Trace, my dress was white. I'm not sure we should even be hanging out together. That's shocking.
Well,
things happen.
Uh-huh.